the Central Library Branch of the Multnomah County Library, 801 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
You're listening to Prison Pipeline from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm Amy Johnson. I'll be airing audio from an interview I conducted on January 30th, 2020 in Beaverton, Oregon. My guests are Juliet Britton, the presiding judge of Beaverton Municipal Court, Kevin Boone, specialty court coordinator for the City of Beaverton, and Jay Oslander, jail diversion systems coordinator for Washington County. Beaverton is a city in Washington County. The topic of conversation is a new specialty court proposed for the City of Beaverton, a behavioral health court. This conversation follows a presentation made to the Beaverton City Council on January 27, 2020.
My name is Jay Oslander. I am the Jail Diversion Systems Coordinator with Washington County Mental Health and Addictions. And part of my role is to support the courts and the criminal justice system to make sure folks with behavioral health needs have access to services and supports while they're going through the system.
And we're also joined by the presiding judge of the Beaverton Municipal Court.
I've been the presiding judge here in Beaverton for approximately 2 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to coming to this court, I was the executive director of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. That's a state agency who exclusively supervises individuals with serious mental illness who have committed crimes. And through that work, have been focusing a lot of my recent career on working with individuals with mental illness who are in the criminal justice system and always looking for ways to address their needs, which often are very unique than non-mentally ill defendants. Prior to that, I have some criminal litigation background. I've been both a prosecutor, I've been a defense attorney, and also had a short time running a not-for-profit that did advocacy for abused and neglected children.
Kevin Boone, could you introduce yourself as well?
Sure. My name's Kevin Boone. I'm the Be Sober Court Coordinator. Soon to be, I guess, a specialty court coordinator as we get our mental health court, behavioral health court up and running. I've been in with the City of Beaverton for roughly 3 years. I come from an addiction counseling background. I've participated in the Be Sober program for almost 5 years now in my various roles. I'm excited to see us get this behavioral health court up and running. So,
could you briefly say what the Be Sober program is?
Sure. Be Sober is an acronym for Beaverton Sobriety Opportunity for Beginning Recovery. And what it is, it's a specialty court aimed at repeat DUI offenders and trying to get them change their life, trying to change their behaviors by following evidence-based practices and standards versus the traditional law and order approach, which is, you know, the person commits a second DUI, let's go lock them up. Mm-hmm. When studies show that those individuals come out of jail really not in a much better place at all. They haven't worked on their addiction issues.
Yeah, so has the Be Sober program mm-hmm. been successful in Beaverton?
It absolutely has. Over the course of roughly 10 years in which the program's been in existence, we've had 130 people successfully complete the program. Of those 130 people, we have a recidivism rate of a little over 11%, which sounds, you know, no DUI is good. But when you compare that to people who have not been in these kind of court systems in these programs, it's 30 to 35%. So we're dramatically lower than what the national average is.
Well, thanks for saying a little bit about that, because I know that when Judge Juliet Britton came to the Beaverton City Council on Tuesday evening, you were saying that the Behavioral Health Court will be not necessarily modeled after, but gaining on some of the momentum of the Be Sober program within the Court of Beaverton.
What I meant by that is that when we stand up this new specialty court, there will be a multidisciplinary team supporting these individuals. And by multidisciplinary, I mean it'll be individuals such as attorneys. So there will be a defense attorney, a prosecutor. There will also be clinicians on the team, hopefully. Potentially there might be a representative from law enforcement, and also a case manager that we hope to have on the team. So all the studies suggest that when you bring multidisciplinary teams together, that you have better results. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we've handled the Be Sober the last 10 years. So we hope to do something similar with this particular court.
And could you say how you're involved with the Beaverton Behavioral Health Court Initiative?
Yes. Washington County has joined in over 500 counties in the Stepping Up Initiative. And that's to lower the number of individuals with mental health issues who are in our jail. Because as we know, many individuals who have mental health challenges and lack of access to treatments and resources end up in contact with law enforcement, are more likely to be arrested, are more likely to spend time in jail on the same charge as somebody who does not have a behavioral health challenge. And with Washington County, we have a mental health court that supports individuals who are on probation be successful and not reoffend. We work with the sequential intercept model to find places in the system where we can divert someone from unnecessarily going to jail and to have resources in the community. And that can include crisis services. Rather than having a 911 call, someone can call the crisis line and speak to a clinician. And if law enforcement ends up on scene, they have access to clinicians. They can call 24/7 to support and find options for individuals. And then when someone enters the court system, we're able to provide the supports to make sure the mental health needs are being managed along with the criminal justice matters. The crisis line is called multiple times a day by individuals and family members who are concerned about somebody. And they work with 911. So if someone calls 911 and it sounds like it's a behavioral health challenge but not a need for law enforcement, they can send that to the crisis line. And that works both ways. If someone calls the crisis line and it's a concern for someone's safety, they can contact 911 and get the right first responder. And that's the key, to get the right first responder to the scene who can provide the best supports in the least restrictive environment. So often, law enforcement and clinicians can respond together to address when there is a criminal justice matter and a behavioral health crisis occurring at the same time. All too often, law enforcement are the first responders for individuals in behavioral health crisis. So we do have the crisis line, and crisis lines can dispatch mobile crisis teams. 911 also can mainly dispatch law enforcement. And what we try to do is make sure the law enforcement then has options and resources and information. Mm-hmm. So 24/7, law enforcement can contact a mobile crisis clinician who is prepared to provide them support over the phone. They can come out and meet them where they are at the moment. And they can also refer someone to our urgent walk-in clinic. The Hawthorne Walk-in Clinic is open every day of the year. And that's a place where anyone can go to, and it doesn't really even need to be urgent. It really is just someone who has a behavioral health need or challenge and is looking for support and resources for that.
Where is that?
That is at 5240 Northeast Elam Young Parkway, Suite 100, and that's in Hillsboro.
What's the MAC stop? It's right next to the
MAC
stop.
It is right at the Hawthorne MAC stop in Hillsboro.
Let's get into the Behavioral Health Court. What is the Behavioral Health Court, and why does Beaverton need one?
Well, initially, when I began presiding over criminal matters, it was very clear to me that We had not only a significant number of individuals with mental illness who were pending misdemeanor charges in our court, but we also have many individuals that have multiple cases over and over. So I was seeing this cycle of arrest, resolve the case, release, arrest on new charges, resolve the case, release. So I was seeing this cycle. So just anecdotally, I was noticing, seeing the same faces where, you know, we knew that they could benefit from mental health services. You know, they weren't so ill where they were taken to, on a hold, or they weren't so ill that they were incompetent to stand trial, but it was very clear that they had mental health needs. And I found myself really not having many options as far as trying to address accessing or facilitating these individuals accessing either reconnection with the provider they might have once had or connecting them with a new provider if they've never been in services. Misdemeanors in particular, and municipal courts in particular, often have individuals with mental illness because a lot of the misdemeanors are crimes that are associated with individuals who are mentally ill. So, for example, trespass is a common charge. Individuals with mental illness might not remember that they've been trespassed from a particular store, for example. Or they might not see the no trespass sign, or they might be struggling with homelessness and have nowhere else to go. Offensive littering is another kind of common crime. And so, you know, seeing these individuals over and over and nothing was really being done to address the issues really caused me to pause and say, okay, what can we do as a system? And so I worked with Washington County and the city's leadership, both the mayor and the council, gave me the green light to explore getting a clinician here who could facilitate at least connecting people with services. And so I'm proud to say that we are the first court in Oregon, and frankly, I don't think it's done very much anywhere else, but we have a mental health liaison that is 100% of her time working in the courthouse with Beaverton residents to assist them in getting the services or assistance they need. And so we have our mental health liaison. That was kind of the first layer that I think has helped, you know. So she's there at every initial appearance of all defendants. Mm. If the she might already know that they they might have a case manager, so she can do outreach to the case manager, let them know what's going on. Sometimes individuals in our court are asking for assistance, so she can meet with those individuals and connect them and get them those services they need. So that's just sort of doing work to connect people with services. The target of this particular behavioral health or mental health court really is to target those individuals who respond well to being on probation and to have structure and support of a team and accountability to the court. And the idea is that we're going to find those individuals that we keep seeing over and over in the court and try to target those individuals. We have some other criteria we're looking at. They must have a serious and persistent or serious mental illness diagnoses. This is not a court docket that would respond well to an individual that might solely have substance use disorders. Individuals who are willing to participate, who want to participate and look at maybe ways to address their illness. So voluntariness is going to be one of the factors. And the hope is that we address the basic, help these individuals address their basic needs. That might even include housing, which as we all know is a challenge in the city. We had lengthy discussions about that when we did our planning sessions, which we held last year. And the idea is that these individuals will be on probation, they will be held accountable to the probation terms, and really we're going to respond in a way that meets their physical and mental health needs and focus that as their requirements of probation instead of things like jail, instead of things like pay these fines and fees and that's it. So the focus is really on their recovery. And the idea is, similar to how this has been studied across the nation, is that is setting these individuals up for long-term recovery and stability once they're off probation.
You are listening to Prison Pipeline. We're talking about a behavioral health court starting in Beaverton, Oregon. Here's Jay Oslander talking about the mental health court in Washington County, where Beaverton is located.
Well, we've definitely seen individuals do very well in mental health court, and having that multidisciplinary team to support them and having that frequent contact with the judge who is supportive to their goals and to help them to stay on track, to be successful in the probation, find out what they want to do with their lives, and like the judge said, to move on and be successful in what they want to do.
Sounds a little different than what you normally think of as a judge's role in a person's life.
Exactly. You know, a lot of these individuals, when they go to court in a traditional court setting, there's nothing positive mm-hmm. that's said to them. They aren't given any accolades at their successes. And so there's also not relationships, typically. And my experience, particularly my PSRB experience, or even my experience as a defense attorney, Psychiatric Review Board, okay. So my previous job, when you have relationships with individuals and there's trust there, people have hope. I think one of the largest risks of recidivism is not having hope mm-hmm. and not having any confidence that things are going to get better. And I think this model of court and response to criminal behavior and a response to mental illness gets people on that path to move forward in their recovery. And the idea is that they're going to be at the center of deciding what their recovery looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, setting goals and helping them set goals that they want and supporting them as they do that.
Amy, if I could just piggyback on what the judge said for a second. So for a lot of these individuals, going to court can be very traumatic. And if the person ends up having mental health issues, it's even a more traumatic experience for mm-hmm. them. And what this court hopes to do, as a specialty court, is follow best practices, behaviors, treatment, all of the stuff that's actually aimed towards helping this person change their life, as opposed to just coming in and the judge saying, you need to do X, Y, Z, boom, I'll see you in a month, which historically is not working. So.
Yeah. One of the things that was interesting that it sounds like you're wanting to do is to have, and Lane County is doing this with their mental health court, mm-hmm. I think is what they call it, is where they have in the lobby of the courtroom, they have the services that people will need. So like there'll be OHP for the Oregon Health Plan to get people health insurance, and there'll be food banks and other things like that. So that was something that I was interested to know that Beaverton's thinking about.
Absolutely. We are very interested in bringing the services. We're in the business of removing barriers. So I know there's, we talk about bulldozer parents, helicopter parents. but definitely when you remove barriers for these individuals so they can get access to supported housing, they can get assistance with job and getting on their insurance and getting access to mental health appointments that aren't 60 days out. When you do all that, you are setting them up for success. And so one of the ways is to have a treatment mall or a services mall available at the same site maybe where you do court. Maybe the court isn't in the courtroom. Lane County, for example, holds their specialty courts in the library. Mm. And then that's where they have that space where partner agencies are available to assess these individuals. And we're very interested in doing that. And I think we have many organizations and providers here in Washington County who I think would be very interested in doing that as well.
I'm curious if there's are any obstacles standing in your way to getting this to happen, and what the timeline is for the Beaverton Behavioral Health Court becoming a real thing.
Well, I think certainly this is going to have to go very slow at building. So the plan is, and you probably heard if you were watching the council meeting, we have the full support of council and the mayor's office to fund the positions and services and you know, fund the program. And so this budget cycle starts July 1. We are certainly going to create a budget, a proposed budget, to submit with our upcoming budget cycle that's coming up. The idea is that funding would be approved to begin July 1. Mm-hmm. And we are also looking for other resources potentially, whether it be grants or other funding opportunities. I do not see anything in the way of us not doing this. So I think it's just going to take time, and certainly I'm already doing some of this work now in the courtroom with the limited resources that we have. So for example, I have several individuals who, if we had a behavioral health court, they would be in there, no doubt. And so we hold frequent check-in hearings. You know, they're on probation. We do check-in hearings. I've asked the mental health liaison to connect with their community provider to make sure things are going. You know, we just do it on the spot in the courtroom. You know, have a great check-in, a good positive pro-social interaction with these individuals. And so I think come July 1, when we can have a case manager who can really take over some of the logistics, that we can even start adding people to the docket. And I can tell you that the local attorneys have indicated that there's a lot of interest in this as well. So we'll be looking for a defense attorney who will want to be the dedicated defense attorney to this team, and we're excited to do that.
Could you say what a docket is? It's a little bit jargony.
Yeah, so a docket just means, you know, the names that have hearings that particular day. So, for example, you know, if you were to come into court tomorrow, there might be 10 names on the docket. Those are 10 people that are going to have hearings. Mm-hmm. And so for some of these individuals that I believe need a little more contact with the court, I set them for frequent hearings. That might be every 2 weeks, once a month, and just do a quick check-in hearing, just to see how they're doing, to make sure that there's not anything they need help with that the team or the court or the mental health liaison can assist them with.
Is there any, what happens if they don't appear for these frequent hearings?
Yes, so potentially for any defendant, if they do not show up for a hearing, potentially a warrant can be issued. Mm-hmm. If they're not there, but maybe there's some representation that they're not feeling well, maybe the defense attorney has information, maybe the mental health liaison has information for me that there's a legitimate reason why they're not there, then a warrant wouldn't necessarily be issued. We would reschedule that potentially. Again, it goes back to relationships. In the cases that I am doing some extra monitoring of defendants on probation, I don't think I have had anyone not show up yet. So, but that's a potential, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it would be hard to constantly be going to court and be dealing with mental health, but I know that you're helping them through the...
And you know, there are some intensive community mental health programs, mm-hmm. and there's peers that are working with these individuals, mm-hmm. and they help them get to court. Some of the feedback from some of the individuals is they actually look forward to working or coming to court to share their successes with the judge and the team. Again, it goes back to relationships, right? You want people that are supportive of you to know your successes. So it's not always the case. We're trying to not always have court be a negative thing for individuals.
One thing you'll find when you get into specialty courts like this is some of the thinking doesn't make sense because we're so ingrained in the old legal system and the way they do everything. So it's completely different approach to things. And such as like for a mental health court, a lot of these individuals that would participate, they like structure. So while it might seem overwhelming, they actually, as the judge said, if they were coming in every 2 weeks and had a short visit with the judge, that's part of their recovery program or growing program in which they can have a positive interaction, show the judge all the good stuff they're doing, and they continue to build upon that.
And it meets their treatment goal of not isolating, right? That's a risk factor for many of these individuals. And the idea is, getting out and about is part of their recovery plan, including going to maybe do a check-in. I want to encourage your listeners, if anyone has a particular interest in knowing more about this program and wants to potentially be one of our partner agencies or partners, it doesn't have to be an agency or business. For example, we absolutely want to have peers as part of this program. If there's anyone who's interested in working with us as we develop, I encourage you to contact Kevin Boone. If there's local businesses that, potentially want to contribute to, we might have a clothing bank for to help support individuals who might be going for job interviews. We might have a food bank. So there's lots of opportunities for partnerships. And so I look forward to developing that.
Are you also soliciting input from people who are experiencing mental illness within the community and their family members?
Absolutely.
As you're building this?
I think input from the community. This is a community program. This is a municipal court that is here to serve all the residents in Beaverton. So if anyone would like to contact us, we're absolutely open to that feedback.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I'd like to thank my guests, Judge Juliet Britton, Kevin Boone, and Jay Auslander. To contact Kevin regarding Beaverton's forthcoming behavioral health court, you can email him at kboone@beavertonoregon.gov. His office number is 503-526-2369. His address is Kevin Boone, Specialty Court Coordinator, 7455 Southwest Griffith Drive, Beaverton, Oregon, 97005. Thank you to our engineer, Selena Flores.
That was Prison Pipeline here on KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Up next is Hard Knock Radio. In just a moment.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society's concert series, featuring Sam Ryder and the Human Hands, an ensemble from the worlds of jazz and folk music. The show is Friday, February 21st, 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. Sam Ryder has been a U.S. State Department musical ambassador, taking his accordion to at least six nations. For 6 years, Ryder has been band leader for Jazz at the Lincoln Center's youth program. The Human Hands feature the violin stylings of Oregonian Alex Hargraves. For more information about the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
This is Big Guru, Gifted Unlimited Rhymes Universal, in the house right now on Hard Knock Radio, okay, baby?
This is Dolores Huerta, and this is Hard Knock Radio.
I am Elizabeth Petita Martinez here with Hard Knock Radio.
Oh,
and you are?
I'm Yuri Kochiyama with Hard Knock Radio.
This is Congresswoman Barbara Lee. When I'm not throwing down on the floor of Congress, looking out and fighting for your rights, I'm listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Slavery is back. In fact, it was never abolished. The 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolished slavery, except in prison. At the current rate of incarceration, by the year 2010, the majority of all African-American men between 18 and 40 will be in prison, the state as their captor.
It's gonna take people who are willing to fight, not people who want to negotiate with the enemy.
Prison! Prison! Prison!
The pits of life containment, where reform and discipline are labeled enslavement. From rites of passage to stacking the raiments, we're sporting the iron bars, just gracing the pavement. It's just like cavemen from the pages of myth, cohabitating in darkness while we wallow in filth. Generations of jewels will trickle down to abyss as blood stains.